Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, book of John chapter 6. Praise the Lord for each and every one of you that are here. I do believe that anytime we come to the Lord's house, it is divine appointment. It's not just an accident that you show up here. I believe that it's a divine appointment from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to call this Got Blessings. You've heard of Got Milk? Well, Got Blessings. It says in verse 1 of John chapter 6, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up His eyes and saw a great multitude, a great company, come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. Lord, we truly thank You for the praise and song, and Lord, they're beautiful songs. And Lord, we do haste the day for Your returning. Lord, we hopefully all of us are looking for Your return. That could be at any moment. Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. We could go today. We could go right now. What a blessing to be found in the house of the Lord when You come back. Lord, we do ask that You'd be with each of us. Be with this message that You've laid on my heart. Hide me behind Thy cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, before they leave today, that they would trust You. And these things we ask in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 6 says, "And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread," that's probably about a year's wages, "is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, 'There's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?' And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. I want to tell you something. Along with the women that were there, along with the children that were there, there could have been 15, 20,000, maybe even more. And they got 2 small baskets with a few fish and a little bit of bread. Chances are these fish, by the way, were sardines. How many of you like sardines? Well, I'm getting some hands up. Do you like them with mustard? Yeah? You ever ate sardine with mustard, Brother Al? And you got to be hungry, amen. No, there were probably about 20,000, maybe more. But you know what? This wasn't a problem for Jesus. And Jesus asked, He said, "How are we going to feed these people?" Listen, Jesus didn't look up and say, "Oops, we got a problem, guys. Run to the Domino's." I like Domino's. Yeah. Jesus already knew the answer. He knew what He was going to do. But it says that He did this to try Philip, test Philip, I'll say. And listen, Philip needed to know something about God. The disciples needed to know something about God. And we need to know something about God. It's a very important lesson. It really is. And it's one that we would seriously take heed to, and we really need to pay attention to it. There is no problem too big for God.
Amen.
Say that with me. There is no problem too big for God. And there isn't. Listen, it don't matter what's going on in your life today. Doesn't matter what kind of issues you have going on. I don't know what's going on in people's lives. Some of you I might. You may have talked to me about problems. I've got friends in different places that'll call me up and tell me about their problems. But listen, there's no problem that is too big for God to take care of. The Bible says in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know what that tells me? Listen, I was born in 1960 of the month of June on the 24th day, and it wasn't long after that I was in trouble. And that's no joke. And it lasted for a long time. It's still happening. 54 years later, and I'm still almost 55. Ooh. Man, I never thought I'd get that old. But listen, I'm still in trouble. There's days that I think things I shouldn't. There's days that things come at me and it's like, really? I didn't need this on top of that. But you know what? Listen, God takes care of it. There's no problem too big for it. He already knows what He's going to do. He knew what He was going to do when all those people were gathered there. He already knew that little boy had that food. But He done it for our learning. We need to trust God. We need to put our faith and trust in Him. Listen, we've all got fears. Amen. Who in here does not live with some sort of a fear? That's good. Nobody lied today. There you go. That's a fear. Miss Betty says she really don't have a fear unless there's a dog coming to bite her. Hey, that's a fear. We all live with that fear. But listen, God will take care of our fears. We need to set our fears aside and put God in control of our lives. Peter said, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Listen, we need to put all our cares upon the Lord Jesus. Peter knew a lot about what he was talking about. Here Peter is in a boat. Waves are high and splashing out in the Sea of Galilee. And here comes something walking on the water. They're freaking out. Oh no, they didn't know what it was. And Jesus said, hey, it's okay. Calm down. It's just me. And Peter said, well, if it's you, I'm going to come to you. Is that all right? Listen, Peter lost all fear and stepped out of the boat. He put it all on Jesus and stepped out of the boat. And that's what we've got to do in our lives. We need to listen to what Peter said. He said, cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. You know, that's an important thing. Peter put his faith and trust in the Lord. Peter also put his entire life in the hands of the Lord. Go with me real quick to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Book of Proverbs chapter 3. Mike, you're lucky today. Page 964. Page 964, if you've got a Thomas Nelson study Bible. I want you to look at what these verses say. My son, chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So, now listen to this promise here, okay? He just told us what He wants us to do. Now listen to what He says. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Oh, but here's another one. I like this. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, let me talk to you real quick. I'm not the kind of preacher that's going to tell you, you serve the Lord, you get in church, you put all your money in the offering plate, and hey, God's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. If I told you that, I'd be lying to you. But God does say that He'll take care of you. That's what He wanted Philip and those guys to learn, was listen. I can handle this problem. I can handle your problem. Whatever it may be, He can handle wagon wheels problem. He can handle First Missionary Baptist Church's problem in Arkansas. He can handle Unity Baptist Church in Danville, their problems. God can handle that. Oh, the doctor just told me I've got cancer. God can handle that. Oh, the doctor just told me that my daughter is going to die. God can handle that. Whatever comes at you, I don't want those problems. I got plenty of storms of my own without some more coming in. But God can handle it. And we need to understand it. Peter understood what God could do. But Peter did something else. You notice I ain't read verse 9 yet. I started out this whole service this morning really based on M-O-N-E-Y. It's hard to say that word. Money? Listen, Peter learned that God could take care of everything. God asked Peter to follow him. And he'd go back and he said, follow me, Peter. And he'd go back, follow me, Peter. And finally, Peter drug his boats to land and followed the Lord. But you know what the last thing Peter gave up? Peter gave God everything, walked on water, but he hung on to one thing all the way to the end before he got it together. Money. You see, in John chapter 21... Jesus has been crucified, He's come back, He's talked to all of them, and He said, now this is what I need you guys to do. He gave them the great commission, go out and witness to people, tell people about the Lord, bring them in to the church. But by the way, now I want you to go over here and wait, and I'm going to meet you. And in John chapter 21, and I'm not going to go there, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Whoa, wait a minute. Why did he go fishing? He was bored. No, he wasn't bored. He got to thinking, you know what? I can go make some money instead of sitting around doing this. And he caught all these fish, and it even numbered them, 153. And Jesus asked him three times, Peter, you love me? Peter, you love me? Peter, you love me? And Peter done got fed up. But he asked him that first thing, you love me more than these? You see, Peter had a lucrative fishing business. And 153 fish was a lot of money. Peter said, yeah, Lord, I love you. And he gave it all to him. He said, I'll do what you asked me to do because you'll take care of me. No doubt Peter remembered that day that, hey, Jesus fed 5,000, well, Jesus fed 20,000 or more off of just a little handful of fish and bread. One other time he fed 4,000 plus. No doubt Peter thought about that. No doubt Peter run it through his mind, hey, I got out of the boat and walked on water and ain't another man alive ever done that. You know, you got to know these things pass through Peter's mind. And then when Peter was writing the book of 1 Peter, They were under the rule of Nero. Nero was a very evil man, wicked, persecuting. They were scattered. It was a mess. And Peter said, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. He had to have been thinking about all of what Jesus had done for him all those years. You see, that's a big fear we have. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We're to give the Lord of our first substance. Listen, if you grow watermelons, when you sell them, you give what comes first to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. I got a good friend of mine that was in Belize for a while, and they were paying him with lobsters. And he said, wait a minute. You need to sell these first and then give the church the money. Because the church couldn't all eat one lobster. They'd bring it to him. He said, no, I don't want your money. God asks for your money. See, that's how churches operate. That's how churches go out and do the mission work that God told us to do, is by money. So, see, we've asked about these envelopes. We prayed about it and we put these envelopes back here. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. Because, listen, we're supposed to be doing that anyway. But does the Lord bless people for doing things like that? Does He bless you for living the way He asked you to live? Sure He does. You see, we've got it all wrong. Prosperity. The first thing that comes to my mind when I think of prosperity, lots of money. You know, that's what the world thinks. Listen, prosperity actually means a successful, flourishing, or thriving condition. It don't have money attached to it. Now, it's characterized by money and by business. But I can be flourishing in my heart. I can have joy and I can have peace and happiness without a wad of money. Because, bless God, I ain't got a wad of money. But I'm happy. If your happiness is coming from your business or your money, you are deceived, my friend. That ain't where happiness is, because it's here for a little bit and gone. I've told you about a man I knew back home that he was in the oil business and he had wads of money. I'm talking, he just had money, money, money. And he was a Christian man. He would give it out. He would serve the Lord. He was serving the Lord on a daily basis. Somebody come to him and ask for money and he'd pray about it. And if the Lord laid it on his heart, he'd give him money. He lost everything he had. Everything was living in a 2-bedroom mobile home from the mansion that he had on the hilltop. You know what he was still doing? Going to church and serving the Lord. You know what he told me? Well, he told my dad. My dad said, what happened, man? He says, I don't know, I put all my eggs in one basket. He said, that was stupid. But he kept serving the Lord. It wasn't about money with him. It wasn't about... His happiness came from true prosperity. He was doing what God had asked him to do. Now, if money brings you happiness, peace, and joy, you're wrong. You got problems. Luke 12:34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, we need to be seeking God first. Does God have a problem with people with money? No. Can you be rich and serve the Lord? Sure you can. Does the Lord make people rich? Sure He does. He does. I believe He does. Does it mean if I serve the Lord every single day of my life and make sure that I put my money in the offering plate, that I'm going to get rich? No, that's the wrong heart. I don't even need to worry about it because, listen, I'm rich beyond anybody's dreams. Because I'm a child of the King. You know, I'm going to be in heaven. I've got a mansion up there, and out in the front, instead of a paved street, it's streets of gold. Listen, I got more money than Dallas ever thought of having. I ain't worried about money. We don't need to worry about money. See, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to be happy, so I do my best to serve the Lord, but we need a vision. Everybody needs a vision in their life, and that vision should be to serve God, to do what God wants you to do. Not, well, I'm going to get rich and I'll help God out. God don't need your help. God don't need your money. Did you know that? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns 1,000 hills that all the cows are on. He created it all. We are to seek the kingdom of God first. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. That don't mean conservative and liberal. That means somebody that gives to the Lord liberally of your time, of your money, of your prayer life, of your studying God's Word. That's what that means. It said, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Listen, we're out telling people about the Lord. Blessings will come to you. I promise you that. On the authority of the Word of God, it told me so. 28:20 of Proverbs says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You get in a hurry to get rich, Tyler, you might mess up. You might step on some people that you shouldn't. I've known some rich people that couldn't go outside without bodyguards. They were scared to death for their life. Is that happiness and peace and joy? Nah. Listen, if the Lord ever provides it for me that I'm rich, I don't want to have to hire a bodyguard because I've double-crossed people in the process of getting there. Let me tell you a few people. Mr. James Cash Penny, better known as J.C. Penny. It is said that he tithed 90% of his wages. Now, before you panic, I always heard that all my life. I looked him up and got to reading about him. He didn't always tithe 90%. He started out 10%. He went to 30%. And later in life, he said, you know what? I'm going to just give it all to him. And he took 10%, and that's what he lived on. But you see, there's a lot of things about him people don't really know. He lived by what we call the golden rule. Do unto others before they do it unto you. No, not quite. Listen, his philosophy in life was treat people the way you want to be treated. And he took it straight from the Word of God, and that's the way he lived. See, Matthew 7:12 says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. He lived by that so much that he totally went flat broke, belly up. Gave everything he had on a constant basis. He come up with a store, they called it the Golden Rule Store. And he said, I want to sell it to people at a price they can afford, things they can use. He actually, at some point, he got really sick. He lost 2 wives. They died. He ended up in a mental institution for a little while. And he come back out. He went to Longmont, Colorado, and he couldn't get a business going because they wanted him to sell liquor. He said, no, I ain't selling it. He stood for God. And that's why God blessed him. God didn't bless him because he gave 90% of his tithe. God blessed him because he put God first. He sought God for his life. Mr. Belk, you ever heard of Belk department stores? Mr. Belk, it is said that before he would build a new store, he would help establish a church in that town first. Take somebody out of that church and put them to work in the new store that he built. His thoughts in life is, I want to further the kingdom of God. So he worked. It had nothing to do with the fact that he tithed big money. It all boiled down to he sought first the kingdom of God. Sam Walton, who knows who that is? Everybody does. He was a Christian man. Sam Walton was a Christian man, Sunday school teacher, very active in his church. Gave tithes and offerings liberally. That's what they wrote about him. He gave money to the church before he got rich. He just gave. He said, look, it's God's anyway. You know, when I looked at all these people, I looked at one thing. What was the main thing? They served the Lord in their life. Who has ever heard of John D. Rockefeller? You know what I knew about John D. Rockefeller? That his son went to New Guinea and got eight. That's mainly what I remember about him. Listen, I wasn't around when he was here. John D. Rockefeller was a devout Baptist. He served in his church as a Sunday school teacher, a clerk, an occasional janitor. That's what he did at church. He wasn't too good to be a janitor. He said God was his guiding force through his life and believed this to be the source of his success. Now, I don't know how many of you really know who he was. I'm going to tell you. By the way, he was the owner of Standard Oil Company. At one time, there was nothing else but Standard Oil. He was the first American man to be worth more than $1 billion. And when he died in 1937, his fortune was valued at $336 billion. And is today considered the richest man in history. John D. Rockefeller, though, had this one thing in common with all these other men. They wanted to serve the Lord, and they did that first. Can God make you rich? Sure, if He wants to. Is it because you put tithes and offerings in? No. It's because you give your entire life, lock, stock, barrel, head to toe, and all in between to God. I've gave all of my children to God. I've gave all of my grandkids to God. I've gave my wife to God, and I've given myself to God. And if God wants to take them or make us all sick, that's up to God. If God wants to make us rich, that's up to God. But we are to serve the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all your being. You are to serve God. And that's what these men did. You know, I haven't found anything in the internet that says anything bad about these guys. They might have done something bad. I don't know. I'm not concerned with that. What I'm concerned with is what their testimony is. They served the Lord. They sought the kingdom of God first in their life. And God blessed them for it. You know, they really didn't set out to get rich. They just set out to make a living for a family. And the Lord took care of them. Does God promise you wealth? Not really. Look at verse 10. He said, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Listen, if we'll live the life we're supposed to be living, we won't be wasting money on garbage. Amen. You'll have a whole lot more in your pocketbook. Amen. Listen, I don't even have any idea what it costs to drink alcohol now. I know that During the NFR, I think they told me they sell like $2 million of alcohol a day. Wow. Is that being a good steward of what God... I promise you, and I hate to say this because it shouldn't be, but I promise you there are believers that sit in bars and drink alcohol. There are believers that sit in churches, and if you go to their house and open the refrigerator, I promise you, you'll find beer, wine, whiskey, something. It shouldn't be. That's not being a good steward of the Lord's money. The Lord blesses us with all that we have, and then we spend it on exactly what put Him on the cross. Sin. And it shouldn't be that way. We need to be seeking God in our lives. He did promise me that He'd take care of me. And He does and will reward you for faithfulness. One verse and we're going to close. This verse came to my mind as I was studying during the week. And wow. Hebrews 11. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Listen, God proves to me time and time again that He's a rewarder when I seek Him truly. God proves through other people He's a rewarder to them that seek Him. Will He ever make me rich? I don't know and really don't care. I want happiness and I want peace. And it ain't in money, it's in God. And if He sees fit for me to have a whole lot more, that's fine. He's promised me. You know, Brother Martin said this earlier in Sunday school. Listen, He takes care of the little sparrows. Good grief. How much more am I of a sparrow? He'll take care of me too. Let's all stand. We're going to have an invitation.